RadioSt.Pete.com presents Job Talk with Dean Logan. Job Talk with Dean Logan is presented in part by Eagle Datagistics. Eagle Datagistics is one of the premier Oracle Gold partners on the East Coast. Eagle Datagistics, providing hardware and software sales, data recovery, DBA services, and recruiting. With more than 10 years in business, in downtown St. Petersburg, it's Eagle Datagistics. Now, let's go live to our studio on the 10th floor of the Plaza Tower in downtown St. Petersburg, the offices of Eagle Datagistics. Now, with Job Talk, here's Dean Logan.
Thank you, Joe Bordell, and welcome to Job Talk, the only radio program in Tampa Bay dedicated to talking about jobs. I'm your host, Dean Logan, and for all of those of you who are new to the program, my goal is to talk with every employer I can, big and small, and in every industry, so that anyone who is considering moving their business or a change in their employment will know what it's like to live, work, and play in Tampa Bay. All of my guests are making a positive difference in the community, and listening to Job Talk is a way to get to know them a little better. One of the things I really like about being the host of Job Talk is that I get to meet some very talented and creative people and share their experiences with you. My guest today, Fran Snyder, is an artist and entrepreneur who fits that description very well. Fran is the driving force behind the Listening Room Network, a unique way of bringing musical artists and businesses together while providing a resource for jobs for many musicians throughout the country. Fran, welcome to Job Talk.
Thanks, Dean. It's great to be here.
So I want to really thank you for being here today. Let's begin by letting our listeners get to know you a little bit. Tell us about where you're from, some general history about yourself up until the time you began developing the Listening Room Network.
Okay. Well, I was born in Montreal, Canada. I'm still a Canadian citizen. I guess when I was about 7 or 8, my mom remarried, married an American, and moved us down here to Tampa. He was with the Cincinnati Reds at the time, and you know, they have their spring training in Tampa, and they fell in love with the place. And my dad was managing in the minor leagues at that time, and was, you know, every summer we would have to move to wherever, whatever mm-hmm. club he was playing for. Mm-hmm. But they fell in love with Tampa, and whenever we were in the off season, he was back home here in Tampa Bay. Went to high school, went to University of South Florida. I got a business degree, worked my way through college, and got married, '98 or so. Moved around with my wife's job, because being in the music business, being a musician, all I need is an airport and a highway. I can pretty much live live anywhere to some extent. So I got to live in various places around the country, and I've just been delighted to move back here a couple years ago, especially a year ago when I moved to downtown St. Petersburg. Just love it here. Mm-hmm.
So you, in your time that you were traveling, I think you told me about going to Europe, playing 20 songs in 20 days. Was that is that when you decided that that was a sign to actually play music?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I think of my childhood, you know, music was always in the back of my mind. But when I took lessons at an early age, I hated taking lessons and I hated practicing what I was supposed to practice. And guitar really sort of became a friend to me, I think, when I was about 15 or 16. And I was, you know, back in the days when you used to just you'd buy a record and go lay down in your bed all day and listen with headphones on. Like that, back then, you listen to music as an activity, not as a background thing back then, right? That's what I grew up with. I mean, certainly you had music in the car, but music was just such a huge part of your life back then. Music just didn't really seem like a serious goal for me, although I had the ambitions and the dreams of you know, seeing myself on stage like I was seeing U2 and these other bands, but mm-hmm. I went to college, didn't take a single music class, graduated with a business degree, and then went to Europe, like you mentioned. Spent 3 weeks over there, and I couldn't stop writing. In 3 weeks, I wrote 20 songs. Most of them were terrible songs, mind you. But there was this itch, this drive that I wanted to create interesting things. I wanted to communicate, you know, and I was finding that music and lyric writing was a way for me to just think about my own problems, a way to connect with different people. And when I came home, I said, you know, I'm not going to wait till I'm 40. I'm going to do this now. Mm-hmm. And you know, just started hanging out in bars and seeing how it was done, and And within, you know, 4 or 5 months, I was playing gigs.
So tell me about that Saturday night that you had off and you went to D.C. and did a house concert there.
Yeah. You know, a few years into my career, I was, you know, I was playing colleges. I was touring all across the country, playing a variety of places, you know, nightclubs and colleges and coffee houses and all that stuff. And I had enough friends in the folk world that I kept hearing about these little house concerts, but it just didn't really resonate with me until I was scheduled to visit a friend in Washington, D.C. I had a Saturday night off on the road, and a good friend of mine who's also a fan of my music, I said, hey, why don't we try one of these house concerts? And he loved the idea and invited a bunch of friends to his house to hear me play, and we had, I don't know, 50 people show up, and there wasn't a room big enough to seat everybody, so I did two shows. I did a 9 o'clock show and 11 o'clock show. We were shuttling people,
wow,
you know, down the stairs to the basement to come hear me play, and it was like this pin drop atmosphere where if I wasn't singing or talking, it was just this glorious, eager silence waiting for me. It was just this wonderful vibe of intimacy, and that's, I think, something that's a recurring theme in the world of house concerts, is people just feel very intimate with the performer. There's no background noise, there's no distractions, it's you and that music and that person, and it's a wonderful thing.
And a true listening room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I first saw you at the Greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
At a 1 Million Cups presentation. I think we talked about that event here on Job Talk before with other guests. But you're the first one on the program who actually went through a presentation. And so what was that like?
Well, I've actually done 3 presentations there now. So in the past year and a half, because of the sort of various things that we cover within the Listening Room Network, house concerts, office concerts, and this festival, it's been a great way for me to hone my message. And the Greenhouse audience, it's a fantastic. It's always a full room, number one, and number two, the generosity of the people there. Even if they think your company is a pipe dream, you always get wonderful feedback and mm-hmm. questions that and leads and different ways to think about your business model or marketing your product. It for me, it's been fascinating as an audience member as much as it has been as a presenter. It's such a generous community of business people who love to hear your idea and give you some input.
And how did you get selected to do a presentation there?
It's actually quite simple. I made a personal connection with Sean Kennedy and the Chamber. The Chamber of Commerce is actually what led me to Greenhouse. But to be a speaker there, you just go to their website and sign. I think it's the 1 Million Cups in St. Petersburg. You sign up to speak, and then they'll follow up.
And have you had any investors there as well?
My very first pitch was for officeconcerts.com, which is part of the Listening Room Network. We wanted to bring artists into offices as a wellness program. Mm-hmm. And that very first presentation, I got a $1,500 customer. So,
all right. Yeah. So it really does work.
Yeah. It's, you know, if your product is on point and the right person's in the audience, magical things can happen.
Great. So let's talk about the Listening Room Network. What is the Listening Room Network?
Well, I probably should take you back a step. Back in 2006, I had just done my fifth move with my wife, and we kept moving for her job. And every time we moved, it was a promotion for her and sort of a demotion for me. Here I was, an artist in a new town, having to start all over. And, I mean, the touring was pretty steady. But when it comes to, you know, you need a certain amount of work where you live mm-hmm. If you're going to have any sort of sane life. So it was a real challenge for me. And when we moved to Lawrence, Kansas, which is the last place I lived, I told her, I said, I can't do this anymore. I can't keep gigging the bars in a new town. And I had this idea to, because of that wonderful experience that I had playing house concerts, I was seeking them out, and I realized that there was not a good resource online to connect talented artists and inspire new people to try hosting these types of shows. So I told my wife, here's what I want to do. I need you to cut me some slack for a couple of years. I need you to pick up, you know, the bills for a little while. And she said, okay. So I was in a very fortunate situation that we had moved there for a pretty nice promotion for my wife, so we had a little slack income, and I said, you know, I think I can make this work, but I might need a year and a half or 2 years before it's enough to sustain. Yeah. And she was energized enough to back me on that, and it's been, like I said, it was profitable from day one, but we won't talk about how tiny those profits were for the first couple of years.
Because no one made a salary at that point?
Well, it's, you know, as an entrepreneur, you get what's left over.
Exactly.
And so I was really good at minimizing my expenses at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a friend who was not he was certainly no wonder on the coding front. And we talked about, you know, every time an artist signed up, we had to code the page by hand. You know, we were creating HTML for every single new member.
So that is a challenge in starting a new business. And one of them is getting the website up to speed. And
right.
That was one of your challenges. So tell us about that.
Well, you know, you start with what you can afford. And I had a friend who knew how to build websites, or so I thought. And, you know, and so he was able to, you know, to take it beyond what I could do myself. And then, you know, we got to the point where we just couldn't scale. Like we had enough demand for what we were doing, but we just couldn't keep up. It was just madness trying to create pages mm-hmm. one at a time. So I needed to find somebody who could code dynamic pages, and you know, I hired a guy out of LA. And but my original guy had turned into such an asset that he was still doing a lot of day-to-day maintenance, updating content, and that kind of stuff. But then I had somebody to actually work on the infrastructure to create something that could scale. I'm dealing with musicians who are coding pages on their off days, so to speak. So it was a good 4 years before I hired somebody whose real job was coding.
And where did you get that person?
Getacoder.com, I believe, is what it was. He's from Pakistan, and he lives in Switzerland now. He's been with me for 6 years.
Wow.
And it's funny. I realized a couple years ago that one of my friends actually built that site, Getacoder.com. He's actually...
world.
Yeah. It all comes around.
So tell us about the Listening Room Network, and how many artists are part of the Listening Room Network right now?
We've got hundreds of artists, probably 1,000 hosts and venues, and we do about 2,000 events per year, mm-hmm. and that's around the world. The majority of the activity, probably 80% or more, is in the United States, mm-hmm. but we have a lot of activity in Canada, and Europe is really starting to grow for us, and even Australia.
You're going to be going to Europe soon, I think.
Yeah, I'm really excited. You know, we've been building this platform for years, and I started as a singer-songwriter. I still do that. And although, you know, this website's kind of taken over my life, I've been, you know, a little jealous seeing artists on my site going over to France and Germany to play house concerts. I'm like, come on now, I'm building all this, and I need to finally take advantage of this. So I got an invitation from one of our hosts, and I said, that's it. I'm doing it. Okay. So I booked a show in Orsay, France, a living room concert in just outside of Paris, and then I started working it. So I've got, like, I don't know, about 10 shows scheduled in Germany and France. I'll probably add another 5 shows.
Is that this summer?
I leave it. Yeah, starting May 15th until end of June.
Great, and we can see that on your website after you're done, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'll be taking lots of pictures, and hopefully I'll have some great stories to tell.
Great. So what kind of music do the artists perform? And tell us about the idea about businesses working in their offices and as well as their homes. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I got a little sidetrack. You asked about the Listening Room Network, and really the core of that started with Concerts in Your Home back in 2006. That's still our flagship brand. That's where most of our activity is. But we've been innovating within that, within the music space, for artists who the artists who do house concerts. So you think a living room setting, it's going to be a smaller act. You're not going to have a big rock band with, mm-hmm. you know, amps and drum sets and that kind of thing. So generally, it's solos and duos. You know, depending what generation you're from, think of a James Taylor or a Jason Mraz or that kind of thing. Solos, duos, some bluegrass groups and that kind of thing, but you're not going to see a big drum set. Mm-hmm. So these are the types of artists, and they might be playing jazz or folk, acoustic pops, you know, rock, that kind of thing. But it's generally sort of that vibe, and And, you know, we found that these artists are ultra flexible. They can play, you know, they're used to playing everywhere, you know, coffee shops and weddings and, you know, what have you, although weddings is a little outside of where we want to go. But,
you really want them to be in a listening room environment where people are actually focused on listening.
Exactly. Correct? Music is the main event with the stuff that we do. So that's why weddings are not a good a good example. But it's amazing the places that you can take these artists. And that was sort of part of the seed for office concerts. We said, you know what? What if we took the natural healing powers of music and apply that to the workplace where people are stressed, they're overwhelmed, and they feel guilty for looking away from their computer for more than 20 minutes. What if we created something for the office where people can take an actual break from work, get re-energized, rejuvenated, and share this cultural experience at work, which is great for team building as well. You know, you don't have to go out on a canoe trip on the Colorado River to do team building.
I know that's true. We had an artist come in during the week, and everyone enjoyed it. They also had an opportunity to buy a CD or something if we wanted to. And is that when most of the engagements happen, during the week?
Well, the house concerts tend to happen on weekends, but we've created some innovations within that to encourage people to do smaller, shorter shows during the week. We have a concept called 10-10 concerts, 10 songs for 10-plus guests. So you don't have to have a big house. You don't have to be the most connected person in town to host house concerts. So that is creating a lot more weeknight activity. Mm-hmm. But, of course, the office concerts tend to happen during the week. And we try to schedule them in the mid-afternoon. We don't want it during lunch while people are looking at their sandwich. And getting artists to show up at 9 a.m. can be a challenge. So we found the mid-afternoon is great. Yeah, it's that time when everybody's going to the coffee machine or surfing Facebook anyway.
Right. My guest today is Fran Snyder of the Listening Room Network. And Fran, do you have a selection process for artists that you work with? Is there a vetting process you have?
There is. From the very beginning, you know, we said, hey, we're gonna encourage people to volunteer their homes and their friends and their generosity for these artists, and we want to make sure that the artists are capable of delivering an experience that's worthy of that effort, because we're creating this whole new layer of patrons of the arts. Mm-hmm. Is what we're doing. You don't have to write a $20,000 check to the orchestra. You can take in an artist in your home. So we want to make sure those people are rewarded and not disappointed for doing that. So we've had a vetting process from the beginning, which has sort of stepped up every year, and now we've got a pretty well-honed system where the artists will apply with two video links and a professional website link. And they get reviewed by active hosts on the site, and they get specific feedback about what's working and what's not in the materials that they are auditioning with. So it's a great way for an artist not just to find out whether or not they can join, but actually whether they join or not, they're going to get really good feedback about, you know, maybe their favorite video of themselves is not as compelling as they thought it was.
Mm-hmm. So you're actually helping them market themselves too.
Yeah, it's really difficult to get candid feedback from people who care in this business.
Right.
And we've created a process that serves that need as well as vetting our artists for the network.
Well, that's great. And you mentioned, though, that about two-thirds are rejected, so you have a pretty high bar.
Yeah, and we tend to not call it rejection, because a lot of times it's, you know, we're giving them some really positive feedback. Like right. We know you are ready for this kind of thing as a performer, but you need to invest in some video that shows you as the professional that you are. And that's something that's, you know, there's a $45 application fee. And when you follow the join pages on our site, it's almost like we're trying to talk you out of it.
Okay.
So we know that, like, the people, out of the people who apply, a very high rate of them are professionals who get it. They want this. They know they're ready for it. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times it's a matter of tweaking and, you know, maybe they've only put out one CD, and we feel, hey, that's, you know, you've got some good stuff here, but that doesn't give us enough confidence that you've got a two-hour show.
Right.
You know?
And now, you're also, one of my guests was the CEO of the Tech Garage just recently, and you're also the first guest I've had that's actually involved as a patron of the Tech Garage there.
So yeah,
tell me about that.
Yeah, I was pretty much their first client. I was I live across from the construction at 4th Avenue South and 3rd Street, and my apartment became unbearable when they started pounding in those piles from 7:30 in the morning to 5 at night. It's not just the noise. It was shaking the building all day long. So I was dying to find a place to work other than Kawa Coffee, which I love, but there's a certain amount of comfort to having an office. Mm-hmm. And also I was getting a couple of interns that fall, and I needed to have a professional place for the three of us to work. And it was through the greenhouse that I caught the grapevine that this thing was opening up. And greenhouse and 1 Million Cups, Danielle Finley, who was part of the 1 Million Cups, was one of the she worked for the Tech Garage at the time, and she's the one that told me about it. So I was, I think 2 weeks before they officially opened, I talked them into letting me in, and it's been great. I think entrepreneurs need mentorship, and it's something I was just really, really ready for, and they've got such a great team there. J.J. Roberts has been great to us, and I have this, this weekly check-in with a guy who's built and sold several, multi-million dollar businesses, and he's really good at holding me to task on the things I said I was going to do this week.
Well, great. And also, before we have you play a little song here, I want to talk to you a little bit. I know you're looking for a sales and marketing person.
Mm-hmm.
What qualifications are you looking for in that person?
Well, I want to, it's funny with, I know a lot of people looking for jobs, and I want to state something that needs to be really, really obvious to anybody who's just getting out of school or trying to figure out what they want to do. If you can sell, you can always get a job, if you can sell. And that is something that people just, they're not taught in school about the value. If you can join a company and create revenue, you will always be in demand. And so we are a company like any other that needs additional revenue. And we don't have, a large buffer to take in somebody who's not going to generate revenue. So for me, a track record of doing that is important. But we actually have a pretty unique situation with our business. The way I've done a lot of these innovations that we've done with the website is I create a road to partnership with somebody, because each of these projects, office concerts, concerts in your home, listening room festival, each of these has the need for a particular leader who can dig down into details. And what I've found is I can bring in somebody and start them off in more of an administrative type of situation where they can learn the business, because we're making this up. This is not an established industry, and so for us, I'm looking for somebody that's got a little track record, but mostly the desire to learn and to contribute and to want to work hard enough and smart enough at something to where they can eventually own a piece of it, and that sense of ownership. Or the desire for ownership, I think, is one of the most important things that I look for.
And so this leads well into the one segment I call the interview tip of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody was to apply for this position, what one piece of advice would you give them?
I think showing that you have a passion for what the company does. I think, I've been swayed by that to my which not lost, but I've been sort of romanced that way, thinking that someone who might have been underqualified would be a great fit just because of their enthusiasm. They say that a pound of enthusiasm is worth. Mm-hmm. But I think if I find somebody who actually has the skills and the enthusiasm, you can't lose.
Okay.
You absolutely cannot lose. So you got to have the skills, but I think what a lot of people fail to do is bring enthusiasm, bring some sense of knowledge of what you're applying for, which is why resumes, I think, are such a huge waste of time, because you show nothing. There's nothing passionate about a resume, and you've got to get across somehow why this job means something to you, because okay. it's going to mean something to the person at the other end.
Well, that's good advice. So, Fran, you've been kind enough to say that you'll do a song for us. What's the name of this song?
I think I'm going to play I Am the Moon.
All right. And as Fran gets ready, we'll give him a little time to put the guitar on and stuff. And then afterwards, I'll have him come back and tell us a little bit about the upcoming Listening Room Festival, which will be held between April 20th and 26th. And Fran will be telling us a lot more about that. And he's almost ready. What do you think, Fran?
I'm just going to aim the mic a little bit more towards my voice here.
All right.
I think this should do it.
All right.
How's that for a level?
That's perfect. All right, this is Fran Snyder with I Am the Moon.
You complete the world. Set you free. You let it go, you leap into the sky. You're the only one I know that can bring me back to life. I am the moon, you are the sea. What would you do? Swollen rivers as they cry. An ocean full of tears that fill me up again. So let go of your troubled world and I will take you in. I am the moon, you are the sea. What would you do? In your greens and your blues, I am in orbit and you are my muse. I have been faithful, I have been true. There's nothing left for me to do, so I have to fall.
That was Fran Snyder. Excellent, Fran. Thank you so much.
And the crowd goes wild.
Yeah. But it was really great. And also, that was the very first live musical performance on Job Talk.
All right.
So there's a lot of firsts here today with you, Fran, so that's great. And before I let you go, so please tell us about the Listening Room Festival. You know, what is it? What are the dates and venues? And tell us about that.
Sure. The Listening Room Festival, we started about 4 years ago. It's the fourth annual Listening Room Festival. And basically, it's a way for us to bring 10 talented artists from all over North America to play living room concerts, office concerts, charity concerts, all kinds of places throughout the Tampa Bay to really sort of lift and create the live music audience in this area. There's a lot of people who have sort of checked out on music. You know, they go to concerts, they go to hear somebody play, and there's a drunk guy behind them talking in their ear all night long. Mm-hmm. There's a TV over the performers' heads. There's all these different things that kind of make like some of the true music fans really sort of disengage with music. And these house concerts are showing people that, wow, I can actually really get into this. I can get into this presentation. We like to say every seat is like a backstage pass. You know, mm-hmm. you just really get this intimate connection with the performer with no distractions. And you also know that the performer is getting, you know, all of the money that's given. So there's no overhead. All the hosts who do these types of shows are doing it because they love it, because they're not trying to make a buck. They just absolutely love it.
So when does it and where is it?
So it's all over the state of Florida. We have house concerts in Jacksonville and Daytona, but the majority of the activity is right here in Tampa Bay. And we have a kickoff concert on April 20th at the Hideaway Cafe, which is one of the best listening rooms in Florida. It's a really, really wonderful place to hear music. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be kind of our sampler night. You go to that and you can see, fall in love with the artists that you want to see the rest of the week. And there'll be house concerts all week long, office concerts, or even working on one at City Hall. Sunday night is our big finale at the Palladium Theater. That's an early Sunday evening. We start at 6:30, and we'll have the six headliners of the festival each doing 20 minutes of their best material. We had such an amazing show last year. We're really looking forward to topping that. So that's at the Palladium on April 26th, and all the tickets are online.
What is the website that they can go to?
It's listeningroomfestival.com.
Wonderful. Great. And just finally, wrapping up all this, you know, you're new or came back here to St. Petersburg after being away for a while. And, you know, what would you say to anyone thinking about relocating to St. Petersburg in Tampa Bay? Would you recommend this area to them?
Absolutely. For me, the investment in living downtown especially has been huge for me. The ability to walk to work and walk to the movies and to be, just a few blocks from the water. It's amazing what is available here in terms of real estate, and what's also fascinating is the amount of effort and creativity that's going towards the outskirts, towards the Grand Central District. This city thrives on the arts. If you love music and visual arts, this city is really investing in that in a big way.
Great. And Fran, what is your website if anyone wants to get a hold of you to become a musician as part of your network, or just wants to find out more about performances? What's your website there?
Okay, so for me personally, it's fransnyder.com if you like my music, if you want to find out a little bit more about what I'm doing. And concertsinyourhome.com is the main website in terms of artists who want to perform. And for people that are music fans that want to explore the idea of having artists do an intimate living room show at their place.
Great. Well, Fran, thank you so much for being here, and I hope you'll come back again and let us know bring some other artists with you perhaps, and we'll do this again in the future.
Sounds great. Thank you, Dean.
My pleasure. So that was my guest, Fran Snyder of the Living Room Network. I highly recommend going to the website and hire an artist to entertain at your office or home. You will have an enjoyable experience for sure. And now it's time for the Job Talk Alumni Update. From the St. Petersburg Area Chamber of Commerce, the Iron Yard and the St. Pete Chamber are providing a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start a new career with hands-on training, mentoring, and job placement support. A $3,000 scholarship will be awarded to one lucky student of the Iron Yard Tampa Bay St. Petersburg to be used towards Ruby's on Rail course tuition. Classes start May 4th. As part of the program, students with a little technical experience will learn to develop full-stack applications in Ruby from a 20-year industry veteran over 12 immersive and demanding weeks. The program concludes with a production-quality capstone project imagined and executed by the students, where they put every skill they've learned to use. If you or someone you know can benefit from this, please go to and have them visit the Chamber website at www.stpete.com. The Arts Alliance reminds us that St. Petersburg Second Saturday Art Walk will be held this Saturday, April 11th, from 5 to 9 p.m. You can meet the artists and gallery owners during this casual festive evening as over 40 studios and galleries in the Waterfront Arts District, the Central Arts District, the Edge District, Grand Central District, and the Warehouse Arts District come together as one arts destination. Check out their website at www.stpetearchalliance.org for more information. And I want to thank all the Canadian listeners I've got some shout-outs here. I want to thank all the Canadian listeners who tuned into Job Talk before listening to the baseball games over the last couple of weeks. I really appreciate you tuning in. And to Larry in Texas and Steve in Kansas, thanks for your support as well. And I want to thank you all for listening to Job Talk and for tuning in to RadioSaintBeat.com. Next week, my guest will be Chuck Egerter, the CEO of Eagle Datagistics. Looking forward to that. And you should check out all the great music, including local musicians who are featured on the website, RadioSaintPete.com. We'll try to get some of Fran's music up there and let Joe play that for you there, too. It should be. We're looking very forward to that, too. The website just keeps getting better and better. You can choose your favorite style of music 24 hours a day between Maine, oldies, jazz, and classical. Other interesting programs you might want to check out are the live broadcasts like Suncoast Tiger Bay Luncheon Broadcast, the Homemade Broadcast with Will Koontz, and the Indie Circuit with Mo, which airs on Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern. If you miss a show, that's okay, because you'll find all the previous shows in the audio archive section where you can listen to all your favorites at your convenience. That's RadioSaintPete.com. You can download the free app and listen anywhere you take your phone, tablet, or computer, so check it out. I want to take this time to thank Joe, Chuck, Richard, Harry, my engineers Dan and Sean, and all Eagles for their help. As always, I want to end Job Talk with this final thought and say to anyone in the country, if you're thinking about relocating your family or business and are looking for a great place to live, work, and play, you should come visit and take a look at all St. Pete and Tampa Bay has to offer. I'm glad I did. I think you'll be glad you did, too. So thanks for listening, and until next time when we talk about jobs on Job Talk, this is Dean Logan. Take care, everybody.
You have been listening to Job Talk with Dean Logan, a presentation of RadioSaintPete.com and Eagle Datagistics. Eagle Datagistics is one of the premier Oracle Gold partners on the East Coast, providing hardware and software sales, data recovery, DBA services, and recruiting. With more than 10 years in business, Eagle Datagistics in downtown St. Petersburg. Job Talk with Dean Logan came to you live from our studios inside Eagle Datagistics on the 10th floor of the Plaza Tower in downtown St. Petersburg. RadioSaintPete.com.